Hello and welcome to the Bitcoin Talent Co. podcast. I am your host, Eric Podwatchki, and every Thursday I'll be releasing a new episode where I interview someone currently working in the Bitcoin industry and what their experience is like. My only ask is that if you're a Bitcoin company looking to hire talented people, or if you're a Bitcoiner looking to get a job in the Bitcoin industry, please head over to our website and get in touch with us. And our website is www.bitcointalent.co. My guest today is Bobby Shell. He has 20 plus years of experience in sales and marketing and currently serves as the VP of marketing at Voltage, an enterprise lighting infrastructure company in the Bitcoin space. Prior to joining Voltage, Bobby was an early employee at Marketing 360, where he served as director of marketing, helping scale the company to a $100 million run rate. Bobby went down the Bitcoin rabbit hole in 2017, and since then, his passion for Bitcoin's taken over, which led him to join Voltage. He resides in Charleston, South Carolina, with his wife and two kids. Okay, now let's start the interview. Thanks for joining me, Bobby.
I appreciate the invite, Eric.
Yeah. So this week, we're going to talk about more of a lightning-focused company, Voltage. Before we get into the company itself, I want to get into your background, Bobby. What did you do before Bitcoin? Explain your pre-Bitcoin history.
Yeah, so before Bitcoin, I've always enjoyed entrepreneurship. I owned my own company from about the age 11 to 17, and then when I started college, didn't really have as much time to do that. So I worked a lot of different places in college. But upon graduation, I joined a digital marketing agency and did that for about 12 years. Learned all about marketing small to medium-sized businesses, e-commerce businesses, and growth stage organizations, and managed a team of 40 people there. Got to go through a lot of hiring and just growth. Was a part of the company at about $400,000 monthly revenue and left after we hit 100 million run rate, so a tremendous amount of growth. I was in the first 50 employees and then left after we had 600 employees. So wow. Got to learn a ton about just marketing and growing. And then COVID hit, and like a lot of people, work life changed, didn't have to go into the office and had freedom. And I'd been on Bitcoin Twitter for a long time. So mm-hmm. I was just like, I want to blend the two. So let's see if I can explore this Bitcoin world that we're all so passionate about.
Gotcha. And did you get a degree in marketing as well?
Had a degree in marketing and sales management with a light focus in logistics.
Okay, gotcha. And before we dive into Bitcoin, I'm curious what it's like being in a high growth company like that. You said just a couple dozen all the way up to 600 or so in a matter of what timeline, and what's that like?
I was there across 12 years. We were at a point where we'd be hiring anywhere between 5 to 30 people a month in some instances. But, initially it's really small. The whole team fits in one meeting room. We do a lot of project management on magnetic boards with little magnets, and that would move clients around. And it grew to a point where, hey, this is clearly unsustainable. And we had to build custom software to solve those solutions. And it went from one small office to many offices where there was no real leadership other than the CEO, to having more middle management and senior leadership, which I joined and took part in, became a senior leader after a year on the job, just because I performed incredibly well as an individual and then did well as a leader. But it was interesting for sure, because I think the biggest thing is just understanding what motivates different types of people. Anyone who wants to work in Bitcoin, one thing I'd say is know your personality type, the DISC profiles. And when it comes to relationships and love, there's a kind of framework called the Enneagram, and it helps you learn and understand how you connect with other people. But things like that are really valuable, because you can learn how people think and communicate so that you can best, make them and help them understand you, and vice versa. You want to understand how they think and operate and what motivates them. And just by understanding that, it really kind of eliminates, I think, a lot of the frustration and confusion that may be experienced in the workplace between coworkers.
Gotcha. And you said you climbed the ranks pretty quickly here in this high growth startup. And I think a lot of Bitcoin companies follow that similar pattern. It starts out with a team of maybe 5 to 10, even less, and then go through a crazy hiring phase. How can someone within coming in early on in a high growth startup, how can they outperform and really climb the ranks quickly like you did?
Yeah. So I posted this on Twitter like 3 months ago, and it was one of my most popular tweets. And I just talked about like, and this was before I was married. I wasn't in a relationship, so it's very different. But I would just show up every morning at 5 a.m. and I'd work till 5. You know, I'd go to the gym during that. Yeah, I'd go to the gym still. I would eat lunch still. You know, I had freedom. I would travel and see cities and stuff. But I was just like, I have to learn faster than everyone and outwork everyone. It's digital marketing. It's fast paced. It's, you know, Google algorithms, Facebook algorithms. You got to always be ahead of the curve.
Right.
And that helped tremendously. And then on the weekends, I would also come in for 3 hours and learn. You know, I'd wake up early, do my workout. Then I'd go work on the computer for a few hours, catch up. So my whole weekend was no stress. And a lot of people, they just are like, I don't work on the weekend. And they would, then they'd be stressed on Monday. And I'd just be like, dude, you're consumed by your work. What I did is I took a growth perspective of, I'm going to learn and master this better than anyone. And the result of that was I made twice the income. I was the top performer in the company for the entire year and many months. And I earned the trust of the leadership in the company to manage a team and to help kind of share that knowledge amongst the group.
Right. And I think managers as well see the hustle. You know, they see you, if you're coming into a physical office or if you're logging on Slack at 5 a.m., you're not logging off until late in the afternoon. People take notice of that. So.
Yeah. And to kind of wrap that up, like if you're married or have kids, it's incredibly hard to do that. I definitely prioritize like sleep and other things now. But, you know. When you're young, definitely do it. Take advantage of learning because you just always have less time. As we love to say in Bitcoin, it is the scarcest asset.
I could imagine, yeah. I'm quickly approaching the having kids soon, so I'm like trying to plan for that right now. So my brain's like, oh, I got to like work harder, honestly.
Let's
just because I know in the back of my head I have to support someone soon.
Awesome.
But yeah, so let's get into now your Bitcoin story. So you did digital marketing for most of your life, studied in school, worked professionally, and then how did Bitcoin make itself into your life?
Yeah. So in 2012 or so, a buddy told me to mine and buy like a $600 computer, you know, mine Bitcoin. And I was just like, oh, $600 computer, that's super expensive, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just in college. I can't afford that. Ignored it till 2017. Learned about all the altcoins and just the scams that we've all been rugged by. Bought into all of them. They all kind of went to zero or I lost money. But somehow in 2017 or 18, I had found Twitter and I just started following Bitcoiners because I had an interest in broader crypto. Mm-hmm. And after seeing Bitcoiners like tell the story of, well, this happens again and again and again, that sparked my interest. And I just went down the rabbit hole finding high quality content creators that really kind of bring this, you know, the rabbit hole, it's kind of inverse. It starts like typical, like a funnel. If you've ever changed oil, you catch the splashing oil and put it in a jug, but it's different with Bitcoin. You come in via Bitcoin and then you learn, oh my God, it relates to like everything on earth.
Branches. Yep.
So it's kind of like the inverse, you know, it brought me into Bitcoin, but then I started learning about the breadth of so many other things and it just stuck. And that was it. It was, I think, like a lot of people's story. And, you know, by being on Twitter, I don't like being a content creator. I don't like, marketing myself. I enjoy marketing other brands. It's fun. Making your own life like this job is just not fun. And incentives change whenever you have to make it into that. So I've always enjoyed shit posting, which we'll kind of talk about how that played a role in helping me get a job.
Yeah.
But, I just realized at a certain point, and this is a part of my Bitcoin story, is whenever I started getting tired of my job, the one thing I learned from a mentor and a gentleman who was my client, who was on the board of directors of many companies, he just told me, he was like, Bobby, the one risk you can do as a worker is rely on your W-2. You know, you work for this fastest growing company, like one of the fastest growing in America. We were on the Inc. 500, like, God, I think it was like 4, 5, 6 years in a row. And it's like 0.00000001% of companies do that. And he was just like, the biggest risk is just expecting your W-2 to take care of you. Like your CEO could go down in a plane crash. No one's likely going to lead the company the way he did. And I started thinking about that and I was like, man, I need to take this serious. I need to do the thing I hate, like make me a website, market myself, present myself online. And it's always fun doing things because you're passionate about it. You know, marketing other people's brands, solving problems, that's fun. Marketing myself, it's like frustrating. I never really want to like slow down and like, you know, present myself the way I present others. But I learned over time, you do need to do that. And I'm still trying to get myself to slow down and do it well. And I've started doing it. And kind of like you have, you've done a great job, like writing, creating Twitter threads. Like that's important.
Thanks,
that got you to where you are. And for me, I started, you know, posting on Twitter more, engaging more, replying, writing certain things. And I started to see my follower count go up. And I was just like, awesome. And then, you know, kind of how that bridges my Bitcoin story and like my fiat job into why I made the switch into Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It really was, I started experiencing at work, like the work culture is not what brought me here. It's not what kept me here. And whenever I work jobs, I try to look at it in like 2 to 5 year windows. You know, I don't want to be the employee that jumps around every 2 years. I want to add value, be there long term, gain as much knowledge, and when I'm not challenged, leave. And I was making a tremendous amount of money, and I was like overpaid in my opinion, but it was hard to leave. And I got to a point where I was just like, the culture's broken. This is not the company I joined. I need to double and triple down on Bitcoin, because I just noticed Bitcoiners rally around each other. They support each other, and they advocate hardcore for people that they know have a like mind and see this future we want to create. So I just started trying to make content, and I grew like followers from like 800 to like 4,000 within a year, which is very small in Twitter terms. But for me, it gave me enough of a reach where when I said and I made the decision, I am quitting my fiat job and I am going into Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. That was enough to get me reach where I was retweeted and liked, and just had tens of thousands of impressions. I had 30 potential jobs in my inbox. I had 6 serious, serious interviews, and there were like 2 to 3 roles that were like, we want you. And I went through the process of like decision making, and that's how I ended up at Voltage, was going through that process.
Right. So you start putting content out, what year you would say when you start getting serious mm-hmm. about, when you started at like 400 followers and grew that?
2019 or 2020, I'd say.
Okay.
Right when Clubhouse came out and everyone was like overly socializing.
Right. I remember that. Yeah. Because we're all locked in our houses. So like around then, okay. And then it takes you like a year or so to really like gain a following. How much were you posting per day and engaging per day?
At that point, I don't even remember. I'd have to look back, but I just remember seeing all these people who like make a career of like posting on Twitter and making money. Yeah. They say, you know, don't just write threads, you know, you need to reply and add value to people's conversations.
Yep.
One big thing is shitposting. If you know who owns Twitter now, Elon, he shitposts. He goofs around, you know?
Yeah.
It's the internet. We're talking about memes here. So there's a benefit to like shitposting and having fun with memes, because people need to laugh. You know, that's what got me through COVID, was the Bitcoin community and laughing and having fun. So I think that's super important, is like doing that. And if you know Michael Goldstein, mm-hmm. otherwise known as Bitstein, he's been one of the best Bitcoin memers back to like 2014. So memes matter in this industry, like have fun and create content. But also I started writing, trying to do more professional stuff. And for like a 4 or 5 month window there, I was just making YouTube videos every week, just learning how to edit, uploading them, showing the world I can articulate myself and I'm not just a goof off, you know. Writing blogs, you know, made my website a WordPress, started writing blogs. So I just did a blend of everything. So key point here, when someone Googles your name, they see some stuff you've done. They know you have some skill set. And granted, I had tons of content from my prior job and other things I'm a part of. You know, I own a digital marketing company with 14 employees with my co-founder, Alex, who's the CEO. I work in real estate private equity. So there's other things that prove like I'm not just some off the street guy trying to like make the pivot. It's like, hey, he knows what he's doing. But whenever someone Googles your name, you really want people to see you and be able to identify with you and not just be a piece of paper and a resume. That's, you know, that's pre-2000 type thinking when it comes to job searching, I'd say.
Right, exactly. And so as from a recruiter, like I've been working recruiting myself the last couple months here, that's exactly what I'm doing. If I find a candidate I like, I'm going to go and Google their name. And if I see they made some Bitcoin content, or if they made content related to their skill, let's just say they're a marketer and I'm seeing marketing content, like a YouTube video, a how-to video show up, oh, that's automatically signaling they know their stuff, like you said. So definitely greatest piece of advice for anyone trying to work in Bitcoin. You got to start putting content out. Bobby's story, you know, it took him at least a year really to gain some traction. And then over that year, he had a full library of resources and content he put out, which showed his work in the space. Which then led to opportunities to where he's at now. So I think that's a really good transition point. Tell me how you went from posting, kind of shit posting on Twitter, to getting an interview and eventually the job at Voltage.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, I made the tweet. I was like, I'm leaving my fiat job. I'm going feet first into Bitcoin. And there was just tons of support. There's actually like CEOs were DMing saying, hey, I have this role. And, you know, it would lead to Zoom interviews, like emails back and forth, just a lot of that. And sometimes there were just people saying, hey, I know someone at this company, we need this role filled. There were roles that I was like way underqualified for. I probably would have come in, you know, worked hard and crushed it. But whenever I read it, I was like, I'm underqualified. But the fact that Bitcoin Twitter needs marketers, needs business development people, needs sales people, like content creators, I was just like, I made the wrong assumption that Bitcoin doesn't have room for marketers prior, because it's all engineering heavy. It's the farthest thing from the truth.
Yeah.
But made that post, got a flood of DMs, and I had to like put it into a spreadsheet and a sheet of paper and write it out and track everything, because I was like, when you have an opportunity like this, you don't want to drop the ball and let something fall between the seams. So I was basically project managing, trying to get my job. It was like almost a full-time job. But that's a thing. And one caveat to this is we are so early in Bitcoin where you can do that and get a response. Two years from now, when this becomes normalized and it's not this niche thing, it's not going to be this way. So if you're listening to this right now, you're at a very special time in just the history of Bitcoin, the history of money, and just job seeking in this field. You need to take advantage of it and make the leap now before everyone catches on. So I think that's what was unique about my story, is I had the opportunity where when I made the post, lots of inbound came my way, which was a very big blessing.
Right. So you got the inbound, and so I guess guessing someone from Voltage was in your DMs. What was the interview
process
like?
Yeah, Graham was specifically.
Okay, Graham is CEO, right?
Yeah, and Graham DM'd me and he said, hey, I'm going to be hiring for marketing. He was like, I'm not just going to hire for the role. I'm going to have, you know, someone consult or just kind of basically be a 1099 for 2 months to kind of prove, like, we work well together. We communicate well together. You understand what's going on. And it ended up going well. And I mean, in the interview process, there were a ton of other companies that I interviewed for, like gift card companies, exchanges, wallets, like mining, like buy mining machines remotely from home. And all of those things were like very simple to me. It was kind of like the normal job in Bitcoin, like Lightning engineering, and just the complexity of Lightning was actually beyond what myself and I think many Bitcoiners understand. So I wanted to choose the challenging thing, and it was the most rewarding decision, I think, versus, and this is no bash on any of these other types of companies, I wanted to push myself harder than I've ever been pushed in my life and learn. And it's been the most rewarding decision I've ever made, was choosing the tougher route.
Yeah, I think personally, I think the biggest frontier right now is in Lightning. So if you can get in with a Lightning company early on, there's a really great chance for future success. That whole niche area of Bitcoin is really exploding right now.
Yeah.
So what I want to dive into your interview process. I know you mentioned you don't recall a specific question that really made you think, but as someone that hires now for Voltage, can you paint me a picture of like what it's like interviewing? What's your process like? Do you have any specific questions you ask people?
Yeah. So coming from my last job where I managed a team of 40 and we had employees of 600, and we knew the systems and processes, we knew what to hire for. Someone had already optimized for that. Hiring was easy. It was more like, are they a good judge of character? Do they say they're going to put forth the effort? And do I believe they're going to have a great attitude? Because as long as you have attitude and effort, those two things are the bottom pillars when hiring, the performance will come. Because if you have a great effort and you have a great attitude and you're relentless, you will typically perform. So whenever I came over to Voltage, before we had anyone outside of the engineering team, I was the first non-engineering hire. Graham and I were discussing, well, how do we want to hire? And how do we want to write job descriptions? You know, I can do operations. I don't love it. I don't thrive doing it. But we had to, you know, solve for that. So we wrote job descriptions and we went out hiring people. Naturally, when a Lightning company is hiring and we marketed it well, we had tons of applications. And it came down for me to those same principles. Who gives off the attitude that we want to have at our company? Who seems like they're going to put forth that effort? And who has created past results and jobs? And what I would try to do is ask people tough questions, and not like, you know, there's one question that stumps them, but when you're digging in and asking questions with people, keep going deeper. Like, see if they start to showcase frustration or any form of like just getting disgruntled of sorts. Like, if they can continue digging deeper with you, for me, that's a representation of, are they a problem solver? Can they think creatively on their feet? Can they present things in new ways? I love to see that. But also beyond that, you know, ask people to show proof of work, as we love to say in Bitcoin, because that's what this is all about. We want to know and take part in things that require actual work and energy to be done. So people that can show that portfolio, like we talked about earlier, like maybe you're creating content or maybe you have a lot of input on GitHub and different projects and PRs and whatnot. Things like that are very meaningful when it comes to hiring, and meaningful as far as separating yourself from the competition.
Yeah, I like that response. Do you have any questions related to figuring out if someone's an actual, like, quote unquote Bitcoiner, if they understand Bitcoin? Like, how do you filter out for that? Or is that even a prerequisite to join the company?
It's definitely not a prerequisite that you have to be a maxi. We are pretty straightforward that, like, we're never going to build literally anything other than Bitcoin products, and that kind of weeds people out naturally. Yeah. And, you know, if someone's applying and they have like Web3, crypto, or the word ETH in their profile, it's like they essentially weed themselves out. You know, they don't know who they're applying to. They're just applying for jobs. They're not paying attention. Yeah. They're not intentional. They're not studying the brands they're applying for to craft their messaging and themselves for the job they want. So in my mind, that's just laziness at the end of the day.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. Okay, so let's switch over now. So you're a head of marketing at Voltage. What do you do day to day at your job?
Yeah, so day to day, we just hired a product manager, which is awesome, in the last few months. So I get to work with our product manager and talk about a lot of the things that engineers are doing, and he's breaking it down, and we're working on the messaging that we want to deliver to those who are, you know, purchasing our solution. Beyond that, as we know, Bitcoin, there's tons of Twitter. You're on Twitter mm-hmm. quite a bit. There's a lot of content creation that needs to be made. Like whenever you Google and learn and type in things for Lightning Solutions, there's not a ton there. So long term, there is a content creation and SEO strategy as far as, you know, building long term brand awareness and reputation there. LinkedIn's very powerful. We've had some pretty impactful connections come through LinkedIn. So don't sleep on LinkedIn. A lot of involvement there, but YouTube is a big thing. And when it comes to a marketing funnel, you do want to have your website optimized. So one thing we've really been working on, because I came from like standard digital marketing world where you're working maybe with Shopify, WordPress, or custom websites, not custom applications built from the ground up. There's a ton of tools that automate and connect everything together flawlessly, because that's a very common type of business approach in the world. Even though like SaaS companies are everything nowadays that like make money, SaaS products are built from the ground up. And when you're in an engineering company, day one, you're building an MVP. You're not building like the perfect marketing system. So a lot of my job has been working with engineers to get our API pushing information into our first party tools where we own data, so that we can do better email marketing, do better nurturing of customers in respect to their privacy, and just building a user experience that is great for people, so that when they have that interaction with Lightning and Voltage for the first time, it makes sense for them. And I'd say the biggest thing that I'm working on right now is, how do you get enterprises to understand that there is a solution that is compliant, that has everything they need to implement and deploy Lightning without needing to go hire a bunch of new engineers and cause chaos in your roadmap? That's, you know, what we do, is we make that easy for businesses and, you know, clarifying that to the world.
Yeah, let's dive into that some more. So what exactly, in one sentence or two, what does Voltage do, and what are your products and services you guys offer?
Yeah, Voltage is an enterprise solution for businesses that want to integrate Bitcoin and Lightning. So anyone who understands Lightning knows you got to have a node, you got to participate in the network with a node. And in order to receive payments, you need inbound liquidity. For outbound, you just open a channel. But we provide the ability for businesses to spin up a node to immediately get liquidity. And the problem people run into with Lightning once they get started is optimizing their node. You know, there's a lot of talk in the world that, you know, Bitcoin and Lightning is not reliable. Well, the thing that makes anything reliable is, you know, observing, whether you're looking at yourself and saying, how do I need to get better? How does our business get better? And you look at the performance of the business. You need to look at the performance of your node to understand how you are doing with the rest of the network and how the peers that interact with your node are doing, because this is a peer-to-peer network. So when you're spinning up nodes and getting your liquidity, we give businesses the ability to quickly solve the problems of their node so that their end users and other stakeholders internally and externally that interact with their business, whether it be, you know, sending payments or anything of the sort, they can have a flawless experience. And that's what's really important. And our solution brings all that together because we have experts on staff who will help manage that and implement that into your product or service so that you don't have to deal with that entire headache. So it's essentially an enterprise solution for businesses that want to integrate Lightning into their product.
Yeah, I love that. What does the company look like right now? Like, how many people work at Voltage? And what is the company culture like?
Yeah, we have 15 to 16 right now. It's all primarily engineers. We have one product manager. We have a head of operations, business development, and then me on the marketing side. And the company culture, it is a remote company. We are working digitally. There's a lot of autonomy. Graham is a great CEO just in terms of, you know, casting the vision to the team for what we want to do. He'll say, hey, these are the ideas I have from what I believe Lightning needs, and him and our research team work on that. And whenever we build our roadmap, we discuss it as a team before we do anything. So it is very open kind of forum. Ray Dalio, I think if I'm using the right word, meritocracy, where there's the ability for everyone to pay feedback and just like talk openly. So forgive me if that's the wrong term, but it's very much that. And it's great because we all come together and align on what we're going to build. And then we have every 2 weeks sprint reviews where we discuss what we're working on. And every 2 weeks, we also have what's called FOSS Friday, where everyone in the company is allowed to work on anything they want in the open source world. Typically it revolves around Bitcoin, but it's pretty sweet because the company definitely aligns with the ethos of Bitcoin because we build non-custodial products. We love open source. We build and optimize for that. And it's just a great culture all around.
Yeah, I remember hearing that strategy. I think it was Google that implemented that originally. The every Friday, kind of just do it, work on whatever you want, and good things will come from it.
Yeah.
I love that. What are you working on now on your FOSS Fridays?
For me, I've been exploring a lot of like making NIM content creators and using different tools out there to like showcase how you can build like a content creation identity online, leveraging, you know, Vita, Fountain, you know, value for value, Noster, all that stuff. I've also started learning Python, which is super fun and super relevant. And I started working on command line and just I bought a Start 9 so that I can learn how to manage a personal server and all that stuff. And boy, let me tell you, as a marketer and salesperson, it's a whirlwind going into the technical side, but I'm going to be first in.
It's kind of what you need, though, for a mostly engineering company. If you get just a taste of you can speak that technical language, you become a killer marketer, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds like a lot of fun, too. Is the team mostly based in the U.S.?
Mostly based in the U.S. I think we have three people that are outside of the U.S. in South America and Europe.
Gotcha. And you touched upon NIMS, too. When you're hiring someone, are you open to hiring NIMS?
Typically, you have to have KYC information to like bring someone on as an employee. And I'm not the operation person again, so like, if we have someone full-time and give them healthcare, it's hard to be a NIM like that. But if someone is a NIM and they have a reputation, you know, through Bitcoin Twitter or through like mutual friends, we've definitely contracted work out. And if those people want their own healthcare, they can go buy it on their own in their local area or use CrowdHealth too and kind of deal with that on their own. But typically people go through the standard hiring process, but we've definitely worked with our fair share of NIMs just because Bitcoin's unique in that way.
Right, yeah. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What about any upcoming products or services you can tease out coming from Voltage?
Yeah, so when is this going live?
Probably Thursday. I mean, I could hold it if you want. I'm recording another one later today.
No, you should launch it Thursday because on Thursday we're launching a Noster product, and it's pretty sweet. So right now when you sign up for Noster, you have an NPUB. So it's just long string of ugly variables. Well, they solved for that and made it called, it's called a NIP5, where it's like your address.
So you verify, right?
Yeah, and it's like your unified, like verifiable, like address of sorts you can take anywhere. It like basically replaces your NPUB. Well, we've created a system, the engineers have, I sure as hell haven't, where you can create your NIP5 to replace your NPUB, and it also acts as a Lightning address and through Voltage, and it's completely free. It sends all the zaps to your own personal node. So one thing right now that a lot of people kind of complain about is 95% of zaps are going through Wallet of Satoshi. Mm-hmm. Well, good thing, if you have your own node, you can sign up for Voltage at zero cost, claim your Lightning address and your NIP 05 and send them straight to your own node. So problem solved. And it's just going to be free for everybody. So that's pretty sick. It's a pleb-focused product. It's not an enterprise-focused product like what we typically do, but it was pretty quick to spin up, and it's pretty cool to see that now that's going to be available to people. And again, it just aligns with our ethos of like open source software and giving people freedom and autonomy and not creating these centralized, you know, type tools. So,
I can't wait for that to come out. And I'm curious if that came out of a free open source Friday.
It kind of came about just from a lot of the team talking, and everyone was just like, we have to rally around this. Yeah. But yeah, I think those... It's true. Having a culture, again, to the culture question, that cares about that, it just kind of navigates the company to making decisions that align with that ethos, which is super cool.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So let's wrap this up. I got a question for you. What is one or more piece of advice you'd have someone looking to get into the Bitcoin Lightning space?
Yeah, getting into the Bitcoin Lightning space. I know it kind of seems like a no-brainer, but I would definitely run your own node. You know, if you can toy around with Umbral or Start9 or spinning up one on Voltage and just using the stuff and like understanding the technology, explore all of the wallets, you know, use Twitter to your best advantage and communicate with people. Don't just sit back quietly. You know, most people on the web just passively read and engage, like get active, like interact with people. It's very powerful as far as differentiating you. But the most important thing, I think, is using the software, because the last thing you want to do is get in an interview and they ask a question and you get that deer in headlights. Because like I mentioned earlier, when I'm interviewing, I want to see people display confidence, competency, and just the ability to just dig deeper. So I think if you do that, you're going to feel confident, you're going to present yourself well, and you're going to crush it and probably get those jobs you're chasing.
Right. I always think it's good to have a baseline level of knowledge, especially just Bitcoin and more in general. But you don't want to like have that hold you back. Don't think you have to be an expert in order to apply and get an interview at somewhere like Voltage. Get the baseline Lightning knowledge, then go and get an interview. And if you don't know something, okay, let's go dive further down that process. Why you don't know something.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, cool. So let's wrap this up now. If Bitcoin didn't exist, what would you be pursuing and why?
If Bitcoin didn't exist, this is super easy. So I would be buying a small local business. The whole thing is, if a business reaches over $1 million in revenue and you use an SBA loan to then acquire that business, that the typical failure rate is 1.7%. Mm-hmm. And this is typically reserved for people who go to like Harvard or Stanford. There's an entire program. It's called a search fund program. And you can leverage the SBA to only put 5% down. And typically these businesses, when you buy them, the pay you take home is anywhere from like 250 to 400K yearly. So it's just, you can manage a small business that's established. They're typically anywhere from like 10 to 20 years old. Baby boomers are retiring at a freaking grip. There's like $7 to $10 trillion of businesses that are either going to completely shut down or just get bought out by venture capital guys. And those venture capital guys typically don't come down below $2 million in revenue. So there's just massive, tremendous opportunity for that. I'm going to be making an article and like some videos breaking this down, because the thing I hate is just all the rich private equity guys who are just set for life or buying them up. And I think Bitcoiners need to own them, because if we want to make an impact in our local community and control our local community and have a vote to like put our flag in the ground of what we want to represent, we had better own businesses. So it's just like, just buying and holding Bitcoin is kind of like a loser's mentality. You need to show proof of work, do something, especially locally, and then hold your savings in Bitcoin. That's the trifecta. That's the sword and the shield. Bitcoin's your sword. It's your weapon. Mm-hmm. Your shield is the proof of work you have locally. So that's my belief, and it just aligns with my background and what I've done my whole life, too.
Right, yeah. And you say you're going to put that content out coming out. When do you think? Over the next month or so, 2 months?
Now that I said it, I'll probably do it next week. So after Thursday, I'll probably write it up and make a video in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. So.
Okay, and where can the audience, and myself, because I'm interested, where can we find that content? Where are you going to be posting it?
Yeah, so I have Twitter. It's just @iBobbyShell. And I just started a Substack, just bshell at or bshell.substack.com. I'm on LinkedIn too, but that's the main area. I'm going to start doing some other platforms, but that's really it. It's hard to keep up with all the social stuff, but Twitter's the best place. I'm a big fan of Twitter, and I'm on Noster as well. So,
awesome. Okay. Well, everyone go give Bobby a follow. We'll look forward to that content coming out. Thank you so much for your time today, Bobby. I'm sure there's a lot of marketers out there looking to break into the Bitcoin space, so I think your story will resonate with everyone.
Absolutely. Thank you, Eric, and keep up the great work with everything you're doing, man. It's awesome to watch your journey as well, so thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right, we'll talk next time.
Bye.
And this is also a reminder that Bitcoin Talent Co. is the first recruiting firm dedicated solely to the Bitcoin industry. Our mission is to equip Bitcoin companies with the top talent in the world. So if you're looking to get a job in the industry, or if you're a Bitcoin company looking for recruiting services, please head over to our website at www.bitcointalent.co.